Welcome to the Men on Purpose podcast, featuring dynamic conversations with emerging and established visionary men on purpose. Thanks for joining us today as we celebrate the men on purpose who are committed, creative, courageous change makers all around the world. Now, here's the host of Men on Purpose, Emerald Greenforest.
And welcome to another episode of the Men on Purpose podcast, where we celebrate men on purpose and provide our listeners with immediately actionable steps and wisdom to be more purposeful, powerful, and positive in their impact and their leadership. I am your host and the executive producer of the Men on Purpose podcast, Emerald Greenforest. And today I have with me Jay Gabrani. After his first child was born in 2005, Jay jumped into the world of real estate investing. Overcoming many challenges, he built a seven-figure real estate portfolio. That portfolio helped him to take a multi-year sabbatical to deal with the heartbreaking personal tragedy of his wife passing away in 2014 when his children were 5, 7, and 9. Before his wife passed away, Jay thought he was financially prepared. But after going through the experience of being the executor of his wife's estate, he realized he wasn't. Today, Jay makes an impact raising his three children and empowering fathers to secure their family's financial future as the founder of Prepared Fathers. And I have a personal connection to Jay because we met at the New Media Summit, and I remember when he stood up to give his presentation, how powerful it was, like it was palpable in the room, how powerful his story was and how positive his reaction was to that tragedy happening. And so I'm really delighted to bring you today to the show, Jay. Welcome.
Thanks very much. Great to be with you, Emerald.
Yeah. So, you know, clearly you're one of those people who was called through the process of a major catalytic experience in your life. So I'd love to have you give our listeners a little bit of a background, both on the catalytic experience that you went through and the sabbatical that you took in service to moving through that in a powerful way, and then kind of the calling that came out of that to start serving fathers.
Sure. So I'll give you, let me give you a little context here. So I got married in 2004, first kid 2005, second 2007, third 2009. So let's just say things were very, very busy at home. And ours was kind of a traditional household. I was more of the outwardly focused business. I've been an entrepreneur the last 25 years. Real estate investing, while my wife was, you know, inwards focused, household, domestic, kids, all that cycle. So regardless, we had a very, very busy lifestyle going on. And unfortunately, Emerald, like she one day, she hurt herself and she went to the doctor. And the doctor prescribed her some painkillers. They're called Oxycontins. And if you know anything about them, let's just say a really nasty, nasty prescription drug. And very unfortunately, she developed an addiction to them. So when, you know, you combine the three kids at home and, you know, I know a lot of mothers out there, God bless you. I mean, like what you go through when you deliver children. Yeah, I don't know if I'd be able to do anything like that. And let's just say that she was dealing with some postpartum depression. You deal with addiction and it wasn't a very good scene. And me, myself, as the husband, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to support her. I didn't know how to help. And she made a decision in 2014, which obviously affected a lot of lives. And she decided that she didn't want to be here anymore. So let's just say that overnight, literally overnight, back in that fall, life changed completely. And the simplest things, which were never in my kind of domain as the father, play dates, making dinners, small, simple things that other people just do every day, I now had to do all that stuff plus whatever was on the outside. So I couldn't really deal much with the outside stuff anymore. I had a business back then that it was a mobile marketing agency and I had to shut it down and basically just inwardly focus on my children and myself and dealing with all of those things. Obviously, when your spouse decides that she doesn't want to be here anymore, then it's obviously there's a lot of emotional, a lot of mental things to deal with. But that sabbatical that I took, it was during that time that I had a chance to kind of regroup. It ended up being almost 4 years, 4 years where I was off. It was just 2018. Around that New Media Summit time is when I decided that I'm going to kind of come back out there. And it was during that sabbatical that I determined this path of what we'll talk about, Prepared Fathers. I had a lot of experiences that I went through during that time, executor of her estate, dealing with the real estate that was in her name, etc. So let's just say that, I'm glad that I've kind of come out the other side now. And I spend a lot more time being a father than anything else now. But I want to help other fathers. And that really, when you say, what did the sabbatical lead to? What did that event lead to? It's kind of led to today. I never ever thought that I'd be doing something like this. But that's where we are today. So that hopefully gives your audience a little bit of background on what my experience is.
Thank you, Jay. Well, I'm very familiar with OxyContin, and I'm very familiar with people wanting to be gone because my son became addicted to heroin ultimately, but it started with painkillers being prescribed when he broke his arm when he was a kid, like small child. So I totally relate to the journey. And, I think one thing before we dive further in that I just feel like I want to put into the space is it takes an immense amount of courage to be the person who's navigating with a loved one who's in those places and spaces and to be able to come through that process. I just want to celebrate you for that. So I want to talk about courage because, you know, I think a lot of people look at somebody like you or I who are out, we're speaking, we're expressing ourselves, we're sharing our message. You know, they look at us as if we're a little bit unusual. However, for me at least, and I'm feeling it's the same way with you, like it's really a no choice kind of choice that, you know, when you've had these kind of experiences, it takes courage to transform yourself through them. And then it takes courage to say, okay, now I'm going to go help other people who may be facing similar situations. So I'd love to talk to you about how courage played a role for you in this journey and what, if anything, you do practically or spiritually to help grow and strengthen your courage muscle.
Great question. So basically, you're right. It's the no choice matter. You know, when someone talks to me about it, I would ask, like, if you were in that position, your children are 7 and 9 at the time. They obviously have no clue what's going on here. They're just getting started in life, much less have to face death of someone so, so, so close to them. To me, there was simply no choice in the matter. I had dealt with many types of adversity when you're in business and you're growing real estate. And at the time when I was going through those pieces of adversity, let's just say that I was building my muscle to try and figure out, okay, how do you deal with these? These are all constraints. They're all obstacles. They're all challenges. And life is full of them. Everyone has their own versions of them. So that kind of, I don't think anything like that prepares you for the loss of a spouse or a child. But I was doing those things all the way through my entrepreneurial career. But then when it came to my loss of my wife, and I look at my children, there's basically your two choices, right? You must move forward or you curl up in a corner and you do nothing. That's not going to serve anybody. That's not going to... So really, the courage came from the fact that I knew I had these three little humans that I needed to still be a very positive role model for. I wanted to show them that you can go through deep levels of adversity in life and that you can still make it. You can still be a positive person. You can still live gratefully. And let's just say all the experiences led to that. And yeah, I realized there was no choice in the matter. Like the first year was exceptionally difficult. Like we wouldn't have been able to have this conversation. I would have been streaming tears everywhere. Like I wouldn't have been able to talk. So that was very inclusive for me. And I was just all about spending time with my kids. I still, to this day, I drive my kids to school every day. I pick them up every day. We spend a lot of time together. And the courage comes from the fact that I felt as though I had zero choice in the matter. That if I kind of gave up or if I let it go, then where would my children be? What role model would I be? And then what training would I be giving them in life? Because everyone in your audience, yourself, myself, everyone has those challenges, Emerald. And my kids just had that form of challenge. So that was really what it came down to was I realized there was no choice in the matter. You have to pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and you have to get going again. So that's really where it came from.
Sure. All right. Well, just to be clear, my son made multiple attempts, but he's still actually embodied. So thankfully for that. Yeah. And it's a really, really challenging dynamic to journey through. No question about it.
No training. We've never received it.
Well, yeah, I actually did have training because my father was an alcoholic. So I had it on both ends of the equation. But in any case, what I do want to go to next is, even though we've just been talking about not having a choice, you know, to step up and stand in the space that you need to stand in to be the parent that you needed to be, you did have some choices that I'm sure you had to make on a day-to-day basis and in the process, that you needed to be clear about some of these choices that you were making. So what I'd like to ask you now is, you know, what is it that you might have to offer our listeners, either practically or spiritually, around making tough choices in challenging situations and being clear, like being clear?
Very good. Very good. Basically, I never used to do this, but in that 4-year sabbatical, I started the practice of meditation. So I realized that in order to handle challenges, Emerald, to me, you have to have the clearest mind possible to deal with that stuff. And I never found a way before to clear my mind until I was introduced to meditation. And then it was simple, download an app and practice every day. So it's a 10-minute practice, very simply every day. And at night, there's a second part of the practice, which isn't meditation. It's the, people call it a gratefulness journal. I don't actually write it in a journal, but I do have a practice of right at night, right before the head hits the pillow, no matter how tough a day I've had, I find 3 things that I was grateful for that day, right? And I think that the combination of those two really helped me center myself. And then it's just a matter of, you know what, every challenge is solvable. I really, truly believe that, because almost any challenge or problem you faced, someone out there has already faced. And now with the world of the internet, we can dig and we can find those people and we can get their guidance. We can get their help. We can get on their email list and get their information. So I think the world is so open now that we're very fortunate to live in this type of a time. But the two exercises were meditation, gratefulness. And there was never any anger at my wife. I knew that she was going through an exceptionally difficult time. So I'm going to throw in there forgiveness. I was able to very quickly forgive. Other people thought, oh, aren't you bitter? Aren't you upset? And I said, no, I'm not. I know what she was going through. She was suffering horribly. And I talk about this stuff because one of the things I value very much is genuineness in life. Everyone out there in your audience is going through their own form of issue. Yet when we're genuine about it and we could talk about it, then yeah, I'm hoping that someone in your audience, like this is reaching them, they might be going through a challenge right now. And or someone in their family is going through a challenge right now. Yeah. And maybe they're hearing this and it can help them.
Beautiful. Well, Jay, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the very practical pieces of helping fathers to be prepared. But right now we are going to go for a break, a quick break. So while we're on the break, I want to first, before we go to the break, thank all of our listeners who are downloading, rating, and reviewing. We've already had thousands of downloads from all over the world. I want to shout out this week to our new listeners in Serbia. Welcome, Serbia. And we're also going to do a little shout out to Oakdale. Is that what you said it was? Oakdale or
Oakville.
Oakville in Canada, just west of Toronto. That's We're going to shout out to our listeners in Canada as well.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So we are going to be right back in just a moment with Jay Gabrani.
The Men on Purpose podcast is brought to you by the Creative Age Consulting Group. Men, are you ready to take the leap and go deep to discover the most meaningful mark you can make with your life? Is now the time to consciously craft the legacy life you want to lead? Are you already a legendary leader looking for your big what's next? Creative Age Consulting Group is hired to help men just like you to gain clarity, create consciously, and commit courageously. Please visit timetomakeyourmark.com to apply for an invitation-only consultation. Be sure to apply for a consultation today if you have been inspired to receive support in serving your purpose and making your most meaningful mark. Once again, that's timetomakeyourmark.com or click on the link in the show notes for access to the application.
And we are back. This is Emerald again, and we have with us Jay Gabrani of preparedfathers.com. And I want to share with you that Jay has a special thing called the CAP formula, where he helps fathers prepare themselves with three distinct pieces to be able to navigate being great fathers who are prepared for financial issues in the future. And so you can find that at preparedfathers.com/purpose. And Jay, I believe we live in the creative age. And so one of the choices you made was to take this experience that you had and catalyze it into a creative outlet that also serves people. So I'd love to have you talk about that creation process. Like, at some point along the way, this idea came to you. So I'd love to hear about the creation process and what it is that you have created to be able to serve your experiences out into the world in a way that is going to be beneficial for other fathers.
Great. Yes. So basically, Emerald, after my wife passed away, I was the executor of her estate. Okay. And we never talked about it, but I was trained and educated as a professional accountant. So numbers was kind of my thing. And then my lifelong thing was entrepreneurship and real estate investing. And then when I got into the executor thing, I thought, all right, I'm relatively prepared. We had set up our wills after my first child was born. But then when I went through the process, I realized there was things which I wasn't prepared for. I wasn't ready for. But then given my background, then I started talking to other fathers, just saying, well, I'm trained for this stuff and I wasn't ready. And I asked fathers, like, if this something like this unfortunately happened in your life, what would you like? Would you be ready? Would you be prepared? Unfortunately, the answer was no. And I'm talking about brilliant, brilliant men in their fields, but they just weren't, they wouldn't be ready. And that's when they started asking me questions. I knew that there was something to it once I was starting to get asked a lot of questions about stuff, whether it be wills, whether it be insurance, whether it be just assets, how do you allocate assets, et cetera. This was all my training. This stuff is easy for me to talk about, but I never knew that it was out there. There was a need for it in the world. So Prepared Fathers was born out of that very, very mission that if I could help, let's say, a million fathers, my mission is to help a million fathers become financially prepared. If I could help a million fathers be financially prepared, that's a million families now that if something unfortunate happens in life, that they're going to be dealing with the other stuff, you know, the mourning, et cetera, but financially, they'll be okay. They'll be looked after. And then I thought that would be the way that I can make my legacy in this world. And I'd be happy if I'd be able to do that. And that's really what it came from, was that me talking to other fathers and realizing that they're not ready. Like, they wouldn't know what to do. So the CAP formula very much was born out of that. CAP, C-A-P, it stands for conversations, assets, and paperwork. So preparedfathers.com/purpose. I'd love for your audience to go there, download that. It just gives a nice kind of explainer. A lot of people, the conversation piece, Emerald, I find that there's some belief systems, right, about money. Some people think it's not good to talk about money. Some people think that it's like just evil. And I'm like, well, we live in a first world country and underneath oxygen, you need money. So to me, it's one of those things where that's my way of giving back to the world, is they can take this stuff and they can look at it and say, yeah, all right, maybe I haven't had the conversations. There's ways to introduce these topics, et cetera. So that's where it all came from. That's what it was all born out of.
Beautiful. So a couple things that came to me there is I would like to just, I'm going to challenge you, Jay. We're going to go to 10X. How about 10 million fathers and 10 million families instead of just 1 million? I'm going to just put the challenge right out there to you, because I think what you are doing and how you're helping people is so profoundly important. I think that, you know, there was a time in our culture where families thought about these things and they did prepare to a certain extent for the inevitability of somebody passing. But I feel like in the last 30 or 40 years, we've so detached from like the facts of life in a lot of ways and become distracted by things that are much less meaningful, that when something like this happens to somebody, thank God that you actually were completely skilled with all the skills that you needed to be able to actually create this. So thank you for doing that. Really grateful for that. So we're going to 10X it. How's that?
I love it. I love the idea. I figured, you know what? I started and we just have to keep going. So that's, you know, I thank hosts like yourself who are willing to bring the message. Sure. And I think your audience is very lucky to have you.
Well, the other thing I want to talk to you about, Jay, is something that I just can feel is on people's minds about this whole experience that you went through. You were a real estate investor, so you were essentially, to a great degree, financially prepared to be able to take the time, which, you know, is much more precious than money,
yes,
to heal yourself, to heal your family, to then come out of it with a new offering and a new way of showing up in the world. Not everybody is in that space. Mm-hmm. So what do you have to say to those people who may not even be financially prepared to, you know, make it to the next 3 months from now, never mind move through a tragedy like this? Do you have guidance or advice for them?
Yes, certainly. And I'll give you a little context. Before my first child was born, I was into it, but the thought processes were nowhere near the same as after the day he was born. Like the first day I held my son, Jaden, something galvanized, something changed. So that desire, in Think and Grow Rich, it's called desire, an overwhelming desire. That desire, it's tough to give to people. You can't give that to people. That has to come from within. So that's the first thing, is that within you, you have to want to make changes, right? In any aspect of life, financially, your physical body, et cetera. But then really after that, once you have the desire, then it's a matter of how are you using your 24 hours in the day? Because I find that a lot of folks, especially with the advent of the internet and all of the social media sites and the phone, you mentioned it, people become detached simply because I find that people spend a lot more time on their entertainment than their education. And I don't mean traditional education, university style. I mean education about these topics, financial topics. If people are wondering, well, I don't make enough money, then I'll ask you that in the other parts, like, you know, you spend 8 hours, 10 hours a day going to work. Well, those other hours that you're not sleeping, you have a choice. You can do different things to educate yourself to, I have a saying with my children, skills pay the bills. So you have to upgrade your skills from whatever they are. The upgraded skills will help you make more money. And then the discipline when you make more money to save money, invest money comes from that. So you could be starting at ground zero right now and that's fine. But once you make the change internally, then I find that people are unstoppable. Then it's like that irresistible force that happens. Then you just move forward. But if you want to spend your whole time watching Netflix and YouTube and playing video games, then unfortunately, I don't really have much advice to help you, because then you don't want it bad enough, right? You hear the thing, I want it, I want it. Every athlete that goes in the Olympics, I want it. You have to want it. And that's the only way you'll change. So the best advice I can give is please review how you're spending your 24 hours and upgrade your skills. Again, it does not have to be university. The internet provides lots and lots of ways to get educated now. I teach my kids skills, digital marketing, sales, and investing. Those are the three skills I teach my kids. As they grow up, no matter what passion they have, whatever interest they have, they can utilize those skills. So that's what I teach my kids, and I think that's what I can give to your audience there.
Beautiful. I love that. Well, that was one of the things I actually gave to my son, was I passed on the sales skill, which I got from my father and mother. They were both involved in sales in varying degrees. So
never go hungry if you can do that.
Oh my God, never. And you know, when he was a kid, he would like hire the neighborhood kids to do the chores that I assigned him, and then he would manage them and take half the pay for himself. Yeah, I love that. Well, and I also wanted to ask you, is this Prepared Fathers, is this a for-profit business or is it a philanthropic business? Because I'm curious, I don't know if you still have your real estate investments or if you divested yourself or, you know, what happened during that sabbatical period for you. I used to actually be in the real estate business myself, so we have that in common too.
Yeah, no, I still own most of it. From 2014, I did end up selling one property, which carried me through the sabbatical time. I was just in a good, fortunate place. When I started real estate investing in 2007, mm-hmm. I picked Edmonton, Alberta, Canada at the top of the credit crisis. I could not have bought at any higher the price, and it tanked within 6 months. Then I kind of renewed focus 2009, 10, and 11 I started in Oakville, and Oakville has done exceptionally well. So I own most of it still. Prepared Fathers. It certainly started off just, it's the first business, Emerald, ever that I've started that I wasn't worried about the money up front. Mm-hmm. All right. Like all the other businesses, as my kids were growing up, my wife was still here. It was always like, how do I make money? How do I feed the family, et cetera? So this business is a for-profit business, but at the start, it simply was, I want to get my message out there. Mm-hmm. When I went to New Media Summit, I didn't have any revenue stream whatsoever. Now Prepared Fathers is basically, it's coaching. I do a lot of coaching with fathers. Right. The new program that around Father's Day I'll be introducing is something called Brand New Father Financial. I find that if I can get the fathers as they first have their first child and get some of these lessons imparted into them, now they have the next 30 to 50 to 60 years of that intelligence. And now I can help them. It is a for-profit business, but yeah, the heart of it starts totally what we talked about from the conversations and to say, this message has to get out there.
Yeah.
Because then it can help lots and lots of families.
Beautiful. Well, I feel like it's a hybrid. It's a heart philanthropic project that also has to generate revenue in order to be sustained. So awesome. All right. Well, beautiful man, it is already the end. It's amazing how quickly these interviews go. And I want to thank you. Listeners, we love feedback. Please let us know what you thought of today's show or send in questions or guest suggestions to listeners@menonpurposepodcast.com. We might even give you a shout out on the show. Thank you for tuning in. Keep your ears open. And remember, you are magnificent men.
Thanks for tuning in, downloading, and listening. Be sure to review and rate Men on Purpose on iTunes and share with other men who can benefit from today's episode. Men on Purpose is the premier podcast series for informing, activating, and inspiring the leader who has made his money and knows that now is the time to make his mark. We welcome your feedback and guest suggestions and invite you to subscribe to our mailing list to be notified of each new episode at menonpurposepodcast.com.